This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Diving right into the 8 o'clock hour here on 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey, Dusty Leggins with you. From the 816, hey Dusty, if you were to learn some guitar, what song would you really like to play? Crazy on You by Heart.
That's a good one.
That
off the noggin. You were ready for that.
That or Big Love by Fleetwood Mac. I don't know if you ever heard that song, Lindsey Buckingham, their guitarist. It sounds like one guy's playing three different guitars, or it sounds like three guys playing a guitar. It's really just one guy.
Wow.
Ding, 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 ding. Great song. From Rumors, Big Love, Lindsey Buckingham. That'd be one of the guitars. I really do want to learn how to play the guitar. I have an acoustic guitar. It just collects dust, like my entire house and my immune system currently. I would definitely love to play Crazy on You by Heart. That would take 17 years to learn how to play the guitar before I could even like begin to get the riffs into that song.
Such a good band.
Yeah, for sure. Somebody says, what's that song that just played coming back from the break? Reminds me of 90s and American Pie movies.
Skater Boy. Avril Lavigne.
That's Skater Boy?
No, Skater Boy.
Okay. I do want to bring this up because I saw this yesterday and the tweet was from CBSSports.com, saying the best sports combo head coach, football, basketball, I believe. And the Kansas Jayhawks, as of the 2024 rank, were number one with Lance Leipold and Bill Self.
Woo!
Wowzers.
Damn.
I mean,
surprising.
Did not know that one. And the reason is the Jayhawks narrowly hang on to the top spot, but since the race is closer than ever, in the past year, Self has lost his stranglehold on the number one coach spot and took a pair of preseason number one teams to an underwhelming season. Leipold also failed to build on a breakout 9-win season, though the Jayhawks finished the year strong. Still, Self is the most accomplished coach in the sport with more than 800 wins and 2 national titles. Leipold took the worst program in FBS and already made it to 5-7, which is a disappointment, following up a dazzling run at Buffalo. We'll give KU a mulligan, but next year must go better. But as of right now, Kansas, as of 2024, last year, going into this year, number one in head coach combination. Number two, Alabama, Kellen DeBoer.
Kalen DeBoer.
DeBoer. And Nate Oates at number two.
Yeah, that's a damn good combo.
Number three was Iowa State, Matt Campbell and T.J. Otzelberger.
Never heard of him.
They were three this year. In 2004, they were ninth. Alabama was three last year. This year, they were third.
Okay.
Or they were three last year. This year, they were second.
Second.
Number four comes in.
Third last year. Okay.
Number four comes in from the University of Tennessee.
Hey-o!
Tennessee Mac. Josh Heupel and Rick Barnes.
Let's go. I mean, Rick Barnes has rebuilt that program, that basketball program.
Basically, Hank Hill and Bobby.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Number five was Clemson with Dabo Sweeney and Brad Brownwell. Brownell.
I mean, the basketball team's been great. They're holding up their end of the bargain. I don't know about Clemson football.
They're in the playoffs.
That's fair.
Their coach still sprints down the hill to make sure everybody knows he's the guy that runs the program.
He's the guy. Yep. Don't need an IL either.
Number six was Oregon, Dan Lanning and Dana Altman.
They're going to go higher
next
year.
Dan Lanning's local guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Number seven was Michigan State, Jonathan Smith and Tom Izzo. Number eight, Jim Mora Jr. and Dan Hurley at UConn. Number nine is Baylor, Dave Arnotta and Scott Drew.
Scott Drew.
That guy has held on to every hair he has on top of his head for 10 years. And number 10, my guy, Willie Fritz.
Nice.
And Calvin Sampson at Houston.
Yeah, that's good. Is there anyone that you'd think, they should maybe be in here?
Somebody said fell off the list, Kentucky, North Carolina, Miami. Who's Duke's head coach in football? I bet they're on the list next year.
Elko, isn't that his name? Mike Elko
Duke's
or something?
Duke's had some decent programs in college football. And then obviously you have John Shire. Number one team in the land, the second number one overall team, had one hell of a recruiting class this year. But that was your top 10 in coach combination. Bill Self and Lance Leipold land number one on that list.
Elko was at Duke. He's now at A&M. Manny Diaz.
So maybe that's why they're not on.
Yeah, that's probably why.
So technically, Bill Self and Lance Leipold can look at this list, and Steven Spector, if you're listening, get ready to smile, because they both can say this to the rest of the college world.
Who's the man of the day? I am, you guessed it, why not? Who knows, I do! Never talked to me about before! This guy is me, that's how I know, you know!
So yeah, Kansas reigns supreme in coach combination.
I just do not
get
that.
It is mind-boggling.
It is. I mean, the football team was terrible this season, with expectations and talent. They were awful.
Would you rather have Bill Self and Lance Leipold, or Denny Gates and... our boy, I just drew a blank on his name, Drinkwitz.
Yeah, Gates or Eli Drinkwitz with... because it's Bill Self, it's KU, but if you're talking about the tandem as a whole, I think MU right now, and that may be recency bias. I know the text line won't like that, but I was pretty consistent. I was midway through the football season. What was I saying to you and Bob early on? Hey, Lance Leipold, hot seat. You guys were like, oh, I don't know, and then a few weeks later, you're like, maybe. This is a team that KU, they're at number one on this list. That's a team that plausibly could drop out of the top 10 next year. If KU has the same football season that they did this year and basketball the same with Bill Self, that they are not in the top 10 on this list next season.
Our buddy Alex chimes into the show. Dustman, give yourself some credit. Your version of Every Rose Has Its Thorn with the guitar is lights out. That's a funny joke. I could play like one chord. Dun, dun, dun. That's it. And then I was like, I've mastered the guitar. But yeah, I mean, I guess it's just interesting when you look at this list that obviously it's based on going into this year. Self had the number one team. They put the 800 wins in the credit. They take a guy that took a program from just absolute piss poor and made them relevant. I mean, KU, what? They were terrible this year, but then all of a sudden out of nowhere just started to turn it on. Devin Neal and Daniel started to play together a little bit better. And then it was a little bit too late. But KU reigns supreme when it comes to head coach combinations.
It's crazy.
And before I'd even looked at this list, I looked at you and I was like, it's not Tennessee? And you're like, whoa!
I know, try not to be biased, but I was like, we should be up there. I'm glad we're four. That made me feel good.
Yeah.
Because they should be. I mean, these are...
Would you be disappointed if Tennessee did not make the Elite Eight this year?
Yeah, with their region... With the way it cooked out for them, I would be upset. And because Rick Barnes has never done that, yeah, it's time. This is a big year for Rick Barnes. You talk about pressure in the Chiefs, you know, slide that over to Tennessee. Rick Barnes has some huge pressure. And I know he's built this program into what it is this last decade or so. You got to make an Elite Eight, man. They've had SEC Players of the Years. They've had Dalton Kanek, a first-round draft pick in the NBA. They've had big men. They've had defensive studs. They've had everything. They've had depth. Five stars. It's time. It's time.
Somebody on the text line says, no North Carolina and Belichick. Well, Belichick hasn't been there yet. So that might change.
That might change.
In 2 years.
Yep.
Because he's still got to go out there and prove that he can do it in the college world. So, yeah, your top three schools on this list was Kansas, Alabama, and Iowa State, with Tennessee being the four and Clemson rounding out the top five. So, two Big 12, two SEC,
yep,
and one ACC. I just always find myself rooting against Clemson.
Same.
it's a Dabo thing.
That's another guy. That's another team that could fall out of that list.
Right. But that is some college basketball talk and football talk. Obviously, tournament coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. On the other side, we want to give more duos. Yesterday we talked about Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, where they rank in duos, why the head coach and quarterback combination duo in Kansas City will still reign supreme over everybody else's, and it's not even close. We explain here on Fesco and Dusty. On the other side, it's Mac Morey, Dusty Likas with you on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right, it is Wednesday, which means the Fesco and Dusty poll question is alive on the Fan 965. You can go check it out. Also, while you're there, click on and subscribe to the viewing option, the stream that you can do. If you click and like and subscribe, it's just going to pop up on YouTube every morning. So if you're getting ready for work, you're ironing your shirt, you're getting breakfast ready for the kiddos, or you're doing your own stuff, boom. Don't have to search for it.
We're right there.
Poll question today is, quite simply, who would you rather be, Bobby Witt Jr. or Patrick Mahomes? 277 votes have been placed.
Okay.
63.9% say Patrick Mahomes. 36.1% say Bobby Witt Jr.
Okay.
So let's dive into this real quick.
Yeah, let's do it.
Who do you choose?
You know, I think I'm going Bobby Witt Jr. I can see the lore for Mahomes and picking that and being the guy. But for Bobby Witt Jr., you're the guy, and I could still go have a drink at a bar on a happy hour with you if I wanted to. I could go shop.
Eat dinner with your wife.
Yes, we could go on vacation and not be like, oh, sorry, I can't go to the beach right now. We're going to have to wait. We're going to have to rent it out or whatever. Like, Mahomes can't do anything.
No. No chance.
Which is a blessing and a curse, right? He can't because of how amazing he is and because of what he's been able to do and earn, but also, like, it kind of sucks.
I look at it also as, like, the, like, career-wise. Like, Mahomes, yes, football is awesome, reigns supreme. He's won three Super Bowls. He's been to five. He's won two MVPs. He's a stud.
Yeah, he's at worst the third greatest.
But he plays in the most brutal sport there is,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. Every year, Mahomes is somehow injured. Ankle, knee, whatever it may be. Bobby Witt Jr., yeah, got hit with a fastball in the forearm, but played 2 days later. Football, you don't have angry 300-pound men coming after you trying to absolutely destroy you. Baseball, your biggest fear is a high and tight fastball,
mm-hmm.
which is very, very fearsome.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, when that thing's whipping, you're kind of like, eh, I don't know about this. But football, it's every play. And again, who would you rather be? Bobby Witt Jr. or Patrick Mahomes? Baseball bias guy, baseball, for me. I'd rather be Bobby Witt Jr. than I would be Patrick Mahomes. Part of the reasons why you had mentioned, you know, going to your local coffee shop, and yeah. what's the name on it? Bobby. Okay, cool.
I got an order
for Bobby. No one's going to be like,
Bobby?
You know, Fesco? So you got a Y on his name now? Yeah. But if they're like, what's the name of the order? Patrick. Oh, my God.
Whoa.
He wouldn't even get to that. He'd walk in there, and it'd be all over the web.
Madhouse.
Oh, it'd be crazy. Everybody would stop what they're doing and go directly to that location, hoping to get a glimpse. And that's not a shot at Bobby Witt Jr. It just shows you where the NFL is and where baseball is.
Yeah, you have the barista, like, jaw dropped, having hot coffee pour into their hand because they forgot what they were doing. And, like, that would be the moment. Whereas Bobby, you know.
Bobby's preseason starts in Arizona. Patrick Mahomes starts in St. Joe in the middle of August. Or in the middle of July. Now, Mahomes has made a lot more money. But he's also 6 years older than Bobby Witt Jr. So Bobby Witt Jr., you're younger. You're not as well known. Because I think a lot of people will be like, oh, Mahomes, dude, Mahomes. You couldn't even go into a stall and wipe your ass without somebody being, hey, Patrick, hey. You sign this piece of tissue for me real quick?
Yeah.
Come on, man. I just want to take a dump.
Like, come on, man.
Bobby Witt Jr. sits next to you like, oh, yeah, how's the day going, bud? Like, Bud? It's Bob. So I don't know. For me personally, you know.
From the 6-2-0, Patrick's won 3 championships. Bobby may never even sniff one. I'm going with Mahomes.
He got close to sniffing one last year. I mean, ALDS is just, you know.
It is funny. Baseball, it just doesn't even.
Doesn't ring.
Doesn't ring. ALDS. But also, like, cool. Like, we're talking about day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the sports, besides the field, yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons for Bobby.
Somebody says, you do have to play 162 games as Bobby, though. Correct. But in those 162 games, how many of those people are trying to just absolutely destroy you? I mean,
1, 2, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe a pitcher doesn't like you.
Maybe a pitcher is mad at you for one game. Happens less than it used to, right?
Yeah. I just think I'd rather be Bobby Wood Jr. than I would be Patrick Mahomes. Again, you can find that poll question at 96.5 The Fan or The Fan 96.5. Who would you rather be, Patrick Mahomes, Bobby Wood Jr.? 287 of Utes have voted, and 62.7% say Patrick Mahomes. The gap is narrowing. It started off as 80-20 Mahomes. Binkley obviously shouted from the mountaintops, hey, he's, you know, this guy, he's done this, he's done that. I'm Patrick Mahomes all day. Which, I mean, honestly, like, you think about the endorsements he has.
Oh, yeah.
But if Bobby Wood Jr. continues to play well, those endorsements will continue to rise and keep coming, right? The one they have in common, and I think the two, is Community America and
Whataburger. Yep. Now, it's cool. Like, Mahomes has his own shoe. Like, that'd be cool. Having your own shoe would be sick. It'd be dope.
Somebody says, are we really sure that Bobby can go out and about without getting harassed by fans? I think it would happen, but it's not to the level that it would happen with Mahomes.
You're talking about hordes of people.
Yeah.
Screaming people.
Like, if Bobby Witt Jr. went to a concert at T-Mobile Center and people knew about it, as opposed to, like, Mahomes going to a concert at T-Mobile Center, everyone is going to be like, where's he at?
Yep.
Some people might just be like, well, Bobby Witt Jr.'s here.
Exactly.
Whereas everybody's going to be like, Mahomes is sitting in section 221 in that suite right there. That's where he's at. Like, when I went to the Luke Combs concert, Arrowhead, and sat on the field with my buddy, he was like, do you think Mahomes is here? First question he asked. I said, yeah, I guarantee he's in that suite. And I guarantee he comes on the stage at the end. He did.
Of course.
They sang Brand New Man. He came out and he shotgunned a beer and a cowboy hat and went backstage.
It's badass.
And that's what they did. Bobby Wood Jr. is not going on stage with Luke Combs.
No, no, no. And your friend isn't asking right when you get there, hey, do you think Bobby Wood Jr. is here?
Nah, he's a Cardinals fan anyway.
And again, not a slight. None of this is a slight to Bobby by any means. It's just the fact of the matter.
Longer road trips and more time away from the family in baseball.
Good point.
Sign me up for Bobby Wood Jr. I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. Pat, of course, you're comparing KU basketball to MU. In your opinion, I just don't know if I want to have the sort of fame where, like, the only way I can go do something with my family is if I rent out the entire place.
Like, I'm sure all you texters watched Last Dance, and it's a similar magnitude, not the same, but Michael Jordan in the 90s, like, it sucked. He's sitting there playing with security guys, playing dice. He's flipping quarters. He's laying in his bed reading magazines because he cannot go outside.
Somebody brings a good question on the text line. Would you rather be Mahomes or Kelsey? That's like yes and yes. That's like the same person.
Yeah, Kelsey.
Because, I mean, Kelsey definitely, if your argument is you don't want to be recognized, Kelsey's probably more recognized than Patrick Mahomes because of who he is dating.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a wider swath. Yes.
But still has to do the same stuff, right? Like when they went to Prime Social or whatever it was with he and T, they had to, like, get everybody out, paid for everybody's meals, tipped all the staff, just so two people could eat dinner. I don't want to go through that trouble in my life. I want to be able to take the elevator to the third floor, look out on the great view of the plaza, and be able to eat dinner with my wife or my significant other and not be bothered. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be somebody that's going to come back, hey, we saw my baseball. Like, A, why do you have a baseball in your suit jacket? 2, leave me alone. But that's going to happen more often to Mahomes just because of the gravitational pull that he has towards people and the recognition that he has. Again, if fame and success and all that is what you crave and that you would think you would love, then Mahomes is the clear-cut answer. Bobby Wood Jr. is famous. He's just not Mahomes famous, so he's not going to have that sort of attention that gravitates to him immediately when he walks in the door.
If he won a World Series, would he reach that here? In Kansas City, specifically. Do you think?
Yeah.
In this town, yeah.
I mean, hell, Ned Yost had to change his name when he went to Starbucks. Then again, his name is Ned. You hear the name Ned, it's like, okay, like, I've only known one Ned in my whole life, and it was Ned Flanders.
Mm.
And now the only other Ned I know is Ned Yost. So it's like, well, I know a cartoon character is not buying coffee. I assume that's the manager of the Royals. So it is kind of interesting. Don't forget, speaking of the Royals Roundtable at Hollywood Casino, Friday, March 28th, the day after opening day. Hollywood Casino, Vern, Kyle Isbell, and Michael Massey. It is going to be a royal roundtable for 30 minutes, and it's going to be an open forum question for you guys to ask, plus all the 96.5 fan employees, myself, Mac, Bob, Cody, Gold, Drew, Carrington, Rob, all of us. We'll be there in attendance to talk to you guys. You'll find us at the blackjack table.
Yeah. Not the round table, the blackjack table.
Mm-hmm. Somebody says, to prove Dusty's point, people just need to watch the fake Mahomes guy go to the Oak Park Mall video.
That's it. Exactly.
Yeah. And then somebody says, I vote for Bobby Witt because I want to get in front of a camera one day and say, my name is Bobby Witt and I hit dingers.
Fair enough.
Shout out to the, you know. Somebody asked a question. Here's a good question. If you were famous, would you give autographs or would you just say no autographs ever?
Autographs.
I would 100% do it.
Yes.
Just because I like the feeling of like when I see golfers do it where it's like Jordan Spieth stayed outside after winning the tournament and signed every autograph for every kid. Or you'll see somebody like, I'll be right back. I promise. I'll sign autographs. So I was like, I get it. It's a signature. It gets annoying. And I would be like kind of like critical. Like I would have like an age limit. Like as long as you were like under the age of like 18, I'll sign.
Really?
But like if you're like 35 and you're like, hey, can I have your autograph? I'm like, what do you want this for? Is that rude on my part? Because I have the theory that they're just going to sell it, make profit off my name.
Yeah.
Which is, whatever, I'm signing my name away to you. Go do whatever you want to, I guess, is the end result. But I feel like, yeah, I would always sign. I guess, say that, but I mean, I feel like I will always sign.
I guess I just think about, like, me in 10 years, Mahomes is retiring. I'm 36 and watched Mahomes since I was, you know, whatever. And it'd be like, yeah, man, I watched you my whole life. Favorite Chiefs player, I'd want your autograph. Wouldn't be weird.
Somebody from the 913. Mahomes, no explanation needed. LOL.
LOL.
Yeah, there's another LOL. Speaking of Mahomes and Travis Kelce, that's a pretty solid duo in the NFL still to this day.
I'd say so.
But to go back on the offseason talk of duos in the NFL, because they do tend to work out pretty well if they're successful. And we just talked about Bill Self and Lance Leipold being the number one duo in college sports, coaching-wise. The Chiefs still have the number one duo in football that matters the most, which is head coach and quarterback.
Damn right.
I understand that the Chiefs got their ass kicked in the Super Bowl. We all watched it. We all saw it. We all still remember. It still gives us a bad taste in our mouth. I still have yet to watch a replay of it because I haven't found it yet. I'm sure I can go to YouTube and watch it.
It's there.
And it'll be on NFL Network. And we'll go back and I'll watch it. I promise you I'll watch it. But moving forward, at least until they're still together, they will be the best duo in the NFL head coach quarterback combination wise. Which leaves the question where we talk about the sizable gap of fame between Bobby Witt Jr. and Patrick Mahomes, or we talked about earlier, Bobby Witt Jr. was ranked amongst his peers as the second best baseball player in the league, just behind the international superstar in Shohei Ohtani, who will probably go down as the greatest baseball player we have ever seen. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have a sizable gap, in my opinion, to the next closest duo.
Yeah.
That next second duo is Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford. McVay's been to two Super Bowls with Stafford, or went to two Super Bowls, one with Stafford and won it, one with Goff, lost it. McVay is still young enough to where he eventually will be in the category of most wins all time, I believe. He plays in a softer division than most, like San Francisco's going downhill, Seattle, I mean, we'll see what Darnold and Kupp can do.
They gave Philadelphia the best run for their money in the playoffs.
Almost came back and won.
Almost had it.
And then Stafford.
Yeah.
The snow.
Yeah. They got down to the 20-yard line. They were there.
But I don't have any sort of problem with that because I look at McVay and Stafford compared to Patrick and Andy, and I think of that as like when everybody compares quarterbacks. Like, I would not be mad if my head coach combination was McVay and Stafford. Now, it would be over shortly. Whereas I don't know how much longer Andy Reid wants to do it until the wheels fall off or until he's just like, hey, I'm no longer having fun, which will be never. But it seems like the gap between McVay and Stafford is the same gap between Allen and Mahomes. It's there, but it's not essentially run away. I don't think it's like far and away as Andy and Pat. I think there is a little bit of respect there with Stafford and McVay.
I think it's there. I think this is probably the last year they're here, though, you know, because Stafford's this is it. And we'll see if he can make the full season. Hope his back holds up. I think they're number two. I'm cool with that. But I will say, like, I think the gap's maybe a little bit bigger than you're saying, because I don't know. Like, you could make an argument for a couple names here at two. The only for surefire list thing on this list is number one.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would ever say like, oh,
no.
I don't think you're putting Sirianni and Hurts up there.
Exactly. You know what? I made a somewhat of a just a hodgepodge of names for us, mm-hmm. Dusty, and I kind of felt bad. You can see the last two names that I put, and it's kind of because I forgot them.
Yeah.
Is that disrespectful?
No, because it's not Hurts that you think about when you look at Philadelphia. Now, he was a Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's always the quarterback.
Yep.
But when I think of Philadelphia right now, I think of Saquon Barkley.
Yep. And then I think of their defense.
And then I think of their wide receiver duo.
Yeah.
Then I think of Hurts. Then I think of Sirianni.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas when I think about the Rams, I think of Stafford, McVay. I think of the Chiefs. I immediately think of Reed and Mahomes. When you watch games throughout the season, you watch Fox or CBS or whatever it may be, it's like, yeah, here comes Andy and Pat coming off a season where they got beat in the Super Bowl. They still went 15-2. 15-1 is a duo. Again, 15-1 is a duo last year.
Yep.
They continue to do it every year, whether it's 13-4, 15-1, 14-3, whatever the hell it is, when they don't play that Week 18 game, it's always going to be them. Just like it was always Belichick and Brady, right? And then there was a gap, and at one point it was probably Manning and Dungy, and then it was Caldwell and Manning, or it was fill in the blank. But third on this list, I think, is fair as well,
mm-hmm.
where I think there is a very, very thin gap between the two and three.
This is small.
Whereas Harbaugh and Lamar, I think, are the third best duo when it comes to head coach and quarterback.
I think so. I mean, Lamar has incredible seasons. Harbaugh has been able to kind of reinvent that team throughout the last couple of years. They run, they passed more than anyone else last year. No one likes to talk about it. Like, Lamar passed a lot last season. Like, that's coaching. Like, this guy was called a running back 4 years ago, and now he's one of the most prolific passers in the game. The playoffs is the only question mark, right? That's what they have to do to solidify this spot. The only reason that I'm like, yeah, you could argue a couple others is because they have yet to do it. But we're going to go through this list, Dusty, and name some more pairs. I mean, how many of these duos have really done it? I think that's why McVay and Stafford have to give that nod at two, because they did go secure the Lombardi. Harbaugh and Lamar have yet to get past the AFC Championship game, get past Mahomes. But again, we're going to go through these duos. I don't know who you put above them. I really don't. Because the next on this list, I mean, it gets kind of gets mixed up here, right? Like, who else are you putting after Harbaugh and Lamont? Like, give me an argument. Is it Allen and McDermott?
Maybe. I mean, at least they get to the AFC Championship game.
Yep.
They win their division every year. Allen gives you the security of quarterback. McDermott, you know, you kind of think maybe he learned his lesson. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to shut up and let these guys play. And then when I need to be the coach, I'll be the coach.
Yeah. Like, you give a slight edge to Josh over Lamar, right? And you'd probably give a slight edge to John Harbaugh over Sean McDermott. Yeah. So it kind of washes out. It's like, all right, pick your poison now.
Right. Would Andy Reid still be number one on the list if it was Andy Reid and Josh Allen? And it was McDermott and Mahomes?
Yes. Because Andy Reid's got a bigger gap over McDermott than Patty does over Josh, in my opinion.
Which is crazy to think what he's done in Kansas City, because in Philadelphia, right? Like,
yeah.
What's his, Brandon Graham just retired?
Uh-huh.
That is now the last Philadelphia Eagle to play under Andy Reid.
Wow. That's nuts.
No more Eagles players now officially have played under Andy Reid when he was with the Eagles. Wow. Brandon Graham retiring was the last one. And I think he played 12 years in the NFL.
I mean, Bob's talked about it over the last couple months, right? There's going to be kids coming out of college getting drafted who don't know Andy Reid was the Eagles head coach ever. They just simply won't know that. Nuts. Where
do you put the duo in Washington? Top 10?
I think they got to be top 10. I think Jaden Daniels, like you and I, kind of have him in that like 5-7 QB range. So right there. And then Dan Quinn is probably on the lower edge of that top 10. But I think...
But they're a good combo because he's such a dynamic offensive weapon.
That's what, yeah.
And Quinn's just like, I've got the defense.
Yeah, and that's kind of what you have to think about, right? Like, Mahomes, the escape artist, can do all these things, and Andy's like, I'm going to know how to refine that. I'm going to know how to put you in the place to succeed. That's why they're such a good combo. Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn, a little bit different, but yeah, they complement each other great. I think you could say the same probably for a C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans, right? Offense, okay, D'Amico's like, okay, I got you on the defense. Where would you, Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn over CJ and D'Amico right now?
No, because I want another year. D'Amico and Stroud have gone back-to-back playoff seasons.
Won the division both years.
Yeah. And
easier division, but.
And I believe got to the second round in both those years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so they won a playoff game
both
years.
They've won two playoff games already.
Yeah, you got to give them that.
Now, Campbell and Campbell and Quinn, they've won two playoff games.
Right? Quinn and Daniels, yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's there. They did it 1 year.
1 year.
But can they do it again? In a division where they're going to have to battle against Philadelphia, which Washington, Philadelphia should duke that out. I don't think Dallas is going to be a threat. I don't think the Giants are a threat.
No.
But it still is the reign supreme of Andy and Andy and Pat. And so I think when you go into this season and you think about it, like, yeah, their moves in the offseason may not make sense. We said that yesterday. I don't understand the Kareem Hunt thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cheap veteran. The veterans on the team that lead this team wanted him back, so bring him back. Why not? It's not an expensive deal. Short yardage, goal line, Kareem Hunt can be great. But you never question who the quarterback and what the head coach are doing. That's just the way that goes. And you have that security blanket for the next, what, 5 years at least?
At least, hopefully.
I would think.
Please. Please.
I would think. I don't know if you guys saw this or not yesterday, but Tracy Morgan went viral for puking on the sidelines. It came out that it was food poisoning. He left in a wheelchair with a bloody nose and then was in the hospital scene with the picture. And he says, hey, I'm doing all right. Thank you for all the thoughts and the prayers. I had a bad case of food poisoning. Whether you believe it's food poisoning or not, the question I ask you is what game that you watched in your life gave you the Tracy Morgan treatment where you vomited or you felt like you were going to vomit and you need to be taken away? We dive into that. 913-586-7965. What sporting event or what sporting game made you go full Tracy Morgan in your lifetime? 913-586-7965. You're listening to 96.5, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5, The Fan.
Some breaking news out of the NFL. The Minnesota Vikings are out of the Aaron Rodgers situation. They are moving forward with J.J. McCarthy, their number one overall, not number one overall pick, but their first round pick last year, right?
Yep. National championship winner.
J.J. McCarthy has caused the Minnesota Vikings to stop answering the phone call, which means it is the equivalent of when a favorite becomes such a massive favorite in betting, they take it off the board. It would appear that Kevin O'Connell and J.J. McCarthy will try to become one of those duos on that list that we just talked about.
Yeah.
We'll see if the kids got it. But they are out of the Aaron Rodgers situation, which means now it's down to two teams, the Giants and the Steelers. No other team really sticks out, right? There's no other, maybe Cleveland?
Like if the Titans wanted to, but I haven't heard any rumblings of that. But no, I think that's it. I think he's going to be now a Pittsburgh Steeler. Now, my question to you is, okay, Vikings are all, yeah, we're out. Well, you weren't out for these last 3 weeks. You've been like mysteriously in. So does this give you any sort of feeling about J.J. McCarthy? You're like, yeah, this was all just whatever.
Smoke on the water?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was just one of those, like, he got injured. He would have been in the same situation he was in last year. He just was injured.
Yeah.
Still doesn't mean he didn't get to, like, watch, be in the film room, talk to, you know, Sam Darnold and Kevin O'Connell and be situational. At least last year, he never had to worry about, well, if he's not the guy, then I'm going to be the guy. It was just no matter what, we're riding this thing out with Sam Darnold. Obviously, it ended terribly for them.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold kind of fell off the face of the earth at the very end of the last two games.
Yep.
But yeah, so I mean, it is what we think it is, official. The Minnesota Vikings have stopped answering the phone call. It is over. They are ready to move forward with J.J. McCarthy as their starting quarterback going into the 2025-2026 season. I like it.
I'm exciting. It's always cool to see a new quarterback play.
Text line said we might have missed a coach quarterback combination, Goff and Campbell.
Absolutely. They were on the list. We didn't bring up a few. You know, we didn't bring up Herbert and Harbaugh, Zach Taylor and Burrow. There's a lot. You know, Bo Nix and Sean Payton. Like that's one that's they're surging.
Yeah. But don't worry. We'll bring up that Joe Burrow conversation because of pressure that we brought up earlier with Travis Kelce. Again, I don't think all pressure is bad pressure.
No. No.
In my opinion, I think that you can have good pressure because it's like, okay, I'm prepared for this. Let's go see if we can do it.
North Carolina had pressure last night.
And they absolutely blew the bricks off of San Diego State.
They too. Answered.
Phew. Tonight you get Xavier in Texas and then what? University of Mountain Mary and somebody else?
Yeah, Mountain St. Mary and American University, yeah, I think. It's right. American, yeah.
Yeah. Better be putting your money on America.
I was looking at the gambling, I was like, I don't know anything about American. Okay, I might just go there.
That's the best part about all of it. You don't know anything about any of these teams.
Yep.
How many Xavier games did you watch this year? How many Texas games did you watch outside of when they played Tennessee? Yeah, and the double overtime against, what was it, A&M?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Outside of that, I didn't watch any Texas games.
Nope.
So, yeah. Sign me up for a couple of bets tonight. But we did ask a question. Have you ever had a moment, because Tracy Morgan, food poisoning yesterday, puked. And everybody's like pumping the brakes. I can't bring this up because I'm afraid that maybe he has something wrong with him. Maybe he's got an internal illness. Because we know about his accident in the limousine when the Walmart truck hit him and he sued Walmart and made a ton of money.
Yep.
And the one thing I think about Tracy Morgan is that he's always been a thick-skinned representative. Like, he'll make fun of people for certain things. He would expect the same in return.
Yeah, he can dish it. He can also very much take it.
Yeah. So he was seen on the court side, had to stop the game in the Knicks and the Miami Heat game, projectile vomiting. There's a picture on the internet that if you want to look at, I would highly advise against it. I think that if you put two and two together, you know what it looks like.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
And then eventually he was escorted out of the game in a wheelchair and a bloody nose. Comes out, he was in the hospital, blames it on food poisoning. My question is, has there ever been a sporting event or a game where you almost went full Tracy Morgan? And Jayhawk for Life told us 97 KU versus Arizona.
Yeah, he came in hot on the X machine with that one.
Which, you know, for those of you that were around, that was KU's, maybe KU's, a lot of people's opinion at the time, their best team they'd ever had. Jock Vaughn, he's on that team, the leader of point guard. And they ran into Mike Bibby and Miles Simon.
Mm.
And Lute Olson. Beat them. Arizona, I believe, would go on and win the national championship that year. A lot of KU fans heartbroken during that game. Do you have a game that you watched and you almost went full Tracy Morgan?
Well, you can take this in a few ways, right? It's about which way you're going to interpret this. I've had some where, I would have blamed it on food poisoning. It would have been another kind of poisoning. And I've had some where there's no inebriation. It's just pure, this game's result is going to make me throw up. And I, you know, that's where I'll go with this. And it's the 2021 AFC Championship game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Made me want to projectile vomit everywhere.
Yeah.
That whole second half. And overtime.
When Mahomes became like a pumpkin.
Yeah, just became a shell of himself.
We were like, what happened?
We were up three scores.
Did the Monstars go in the locker room and take all their superpowers?
Exactly right.
You know, we have some reports and rumors that we think that we've been told that the locker room was disastrous at that half because they wanted to get points and they didn't. And it was like, could have got a touchdown, went for the little quick out.
You know,
it didn't happen. Tyreek Hill was very upset. Somebody brought that up. The AFC Championship game in 18 against the Patriots.
Ugh.
AFC Championship loss versus the Bengals. I would say for me, it's probably either the 2014 World Series where Alex Gordon didn't go.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was going to happen. And I was so there. And then it's just like, they held him and he's not going to score. And then they lose. And it was like, projectile.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say this last Super Bowl because it was already like writing on the wall. I didn't have like that tongue, you know, tied, you know, gut-wrenching feeling where, like, it didn't go my way, and then it's just like in the Tampa Bay game. I didn't have that same feeling either.
Yeah, there was none of that.
But that 2018 Patriots AFC Championship game, 100%. Offsides, Edelman definitely touched the ball on the punt. Chris Jones, like, touches Tom Brady's shoulder pad and gets roughing the passer because they said he hit him in the face. A lot of pukey moments. Maybe that Buffalo regular season game from 2 years ago where Kadarius Toney was offsides.
Yep, it's a big one.
Lost the greatest play of the entire NFL season. That would have been number one in the NFL season. Doesn't exist.
Would have been one of Kelsey's best plays ever.
Right.
From the 816 Chiefs-Colts 2014. That's a good one.
Yeah.
28 points, man.
Ugh. And then Andrew Luck gets a fumble off somebody's butt and scores.
Yeah.
Tennessee game. Mariota.
That one for sure.
I almost puked when they called that forward progress. I'm sure Derek Johnson wanted to puke.
Sure he did.
Pittsburgh game, Chris Jones actually did puke. You remember that? They were getting so excited and getting rowdy inside the goal line, and Chris Jones is going nuts and then just pukes on the field.
I forgot about that, yeah. 18-16.
Yeah.
Just about any Chiefs playoff game pre-2018 from the 816.
Mmm. The game that made me sick was the Final Four game, KU versus Villanova. Five trips down the court, KU scores, and we lose 2 points on the scoreboard. Villanova couldn't miss that night. Villanova couldn't miss that entire tournament.
Whole 3 weeks.
I mean, just absolutely running people out of the gym, hitting threes. Everybody hit threes for Villanova that year. That was just a dominant run. From the 307, 2014 NFC Championship game, Packers up 16-0 with like 8 minutes left, and it ended up giving up 28 points.
Yeah.
The only reason people don't talk about it anymore is because of the Falcons' 28-3 Super Bowl a few years later. I'm sure there's some Falcon fans that puked that day.
God.
Tom Brady just makes me puke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and Bill Belichick.
1998, K-State versus A&M, Big 12 Championship football game. What about the five down play for those Missouri football fans of Cordell Stewart and Brian Westbrook? Or maybe it was Nebraska. I don't know who it was, but I know there's a five down play in Missouri's football history where that had to make you puke.
I can feel my blood pressure rising while listening right now.
That's right.
You're welcome.
You can thank Tracy Morgan for that.
Yep.
I don't know, that Indianapolis Colts game when we were up 38-10 and still lost was pretty sick.
Pretty much. What about, real quick, what about the other way? What about just straight inebriation at a sports game?
2015.
Which game? Oh, okay.
Yeah, game six, game five, whenever they won the World Series against the Mets.
Yeah.
I was ready to just go nuts, dude.
Absolutely.
San Francisco, when they won, came from behind by 11. That's another one of those like good pukey moments. Where I'm like, I'm so excited. You know, like, what just happened? It's fine. Give me another beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me get this taste out of my mouth. Yeah, for sure. Puking and excitement there. Yeah. So, 913-586-7965. What was a game that made you go full Tracy Morgan? Coming up on the other side, I want to revisit why Bobby Witt Jr. is important for this renaissance moving forward in baseball. Yes, he's local, but he's the number two baseball-rated player in the league by his peers. I explain why that is so important here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5, The Fan.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.